Good job, Oliver. Good boy. Sit with me. Here.
As he talks to Oliver the dog, as he talks to Oliver the dog, I will beat my drum. I will beat my drum. And in just 1 second, we're going to have Jimmy Daly. What up, brother, dude? DJ Jimmy Juice? Is that what?
Yeah, we're squeezing out jams. Squeezing out jams. We got Oliver. We go to senior living homes. We call it music, movement, and memories. Oliver's the memory. I do some wheelchair yoga. Right, Ollie? Some karaoke? They love you, don't they? You're like a celebrity in those senior living homes, aren't you? Yes, you are. I'm 14, and I'm rocking like an all-star.
Is that a Yorkie?
Yeah, he's a tour Yorkie.
Yeah. We had a Yorkie.
He's looking
once.
Strong and in charge. Look at that posture. What an athlete. I gave him a fresh haircut, Corey. I'm his hairstylist, his trainer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right, Alibaba's?
You're like like in Dumb and Dumber, and he's like, I personally primped them myself.
Oh, my gosh, that's so great. And then he opens the door, and they got mustard and ketchup all over each other.
Foot long. Who's got the foot long?
Yo, so this is Oliver's porcupine. You got to see this thing. This thing is hilarious. This is his. He loves to get it in with this guy, like a little athlete. Oh, get it! Show him, Ollie. Get it. Go ahead and get it. That's it. Yeah, he likes to have fun with that. So I didn't tell you I did a movie called Loose Ends. By the way,
you did.
I'm a what's it called? A gangster named Dominic, and a mafia boss. And so I carry Oliver around. It's on YouTube. We'll have to I'll have to send you the link, but it's called Loose Ends.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, so it was actually a pretty cool feature film that my buddies did for real cheap, okay. And they were in Creed with me.
Okay.
So we were all extras in Creed together, and they filmed that in Aston at Sun Studios because Stallone's smart. He knows that if you film in Philly, it's twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he went to Chester. And that studio was official. I mean, they did Creed 1 and Creed 2 there.
Yeah, I was there once. I did background for an M. Night Shyamalan Apple TV series called Servant.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I went to the Sun Studios for my fittings.
Oh, no way.
And I think Holding happened to be there as well. Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah, this is an experience. I love your setup, too. The tapestry. I got a cool tapestry in my place. I'll have to show it to you.
Let me see if I can't really. I don't know if
this
I can.
This is my tapestry that I got.
All right.
In my
nice.
Place.
That's exactly what tapestry you would have. You would have that.
Get your chakras going, right, bro? Get them chakras aligned, belly to spine all the time. You know?
Exactly the tapestry that you would have. If somebody were to ask me what tapestry Jim Daly has, I would say probably the one with all the chakras on it.
Okay, I love it. Oh my God, bro. You always made me laugh, dude. I love it. It's all in the delivery, Core. It's all that matters. The delivery is everything.
So you're. I just, before anything, before we talk about anything, before we like jump deep into any conversations or any topics, I want
to
just make sure.
Me.
I just want to make sure I'm. Let you know how grateful I am for your willingness to hang with me. And the fact that like anybody pays the currency of their attention and effort on anything I'm ever doing, I'm always so grateful. I want to make sure that you feel safe and welcome and free to speak your mind however you want to, whatever you want to talk about. Don't feel judged, dude, in any way.
Corey, I love you, bro. You know, your gratitude's always been your attitude. That's why you and I vibe so well, bro. Like, I mean, whenever I went to the movie set for the last Airbender, I was just looking for you. You know what I mean? Like, you always try to find your crew. Like, mm-hmm. All right, who am I rolling with today? Who am I chilling with? Who am I going to be hanging out with? I mean, we're on the set for 10 hours.
Right. Who do you eat lunch with?
Right?
Who, exactly. What lunch, who am I, what who lunch am I table? This
lunch with? Maybe even breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We had like some days, dude, like 12, 14 hour days on those sets, dude. Like, and people don't even realize, like, people don't give enough credit to the mentality and the willpower you need just to survive on a movie set. It's like it's hard work, and like, and I got a lot of respect, a lot more respect for these actors. You know what I mean? After, you know, like especially the leads. You know what I'm saying? Like you get to learn just about how exhausting it must be to do what they're doing. You know, and it's stressful.
It is. I agree.
But the money's so good. I can't knock that bread.
Can you imagine how much money gets wasted on like a 30-second scene? Like we were there every day for like 2 months.
Oh God.
And that part of the movie was like 4 seconds.
Well, like I'll tell you this one. Do you remember the one I raised my hand and I was like, I know Tai Chi?
No, I don't remember that, but I
so like they were wondering who knows Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. And I had done a few different things with Tai Chi, like not much though, bro. I just was winging it. I raised my hand and just was like, here's my moment. I'm just going to play my acting role. We're actors, right? So just play your role. So I was like, yeah, I know Tai Chi. They're like, all right, cool. Come over here. I'm trying to do the Tai Chi sequence. And it's hilarious. Like, I'll try to do it right now for you. Give you a little throwback here. See if I can position this right. Probably not, but it's like I had to learn this move. Moving water, folks. Moving water. Moving water. Like and then it was like this. We were going like this. And I just remember doing this for like 8 hours, and they didn't use any of it, Corey. They literally used zero. And yeah. And they had us do that so that we were almost moving the water to bring that big white fluffy animal that
Appa.
I can't remember it. The name of that. It's kind of like the dragon in Neverending Story.
Yeah, that's the name of that creature is a sea bison.
Yes.
And his name was Appa.
Thank you, Appa. So we're trying to bring him into the water village, you know what I mean? And they had us do that whole Tai Chi sequence over and over again and paid us like we were special skills. Like, so we got paid like we were in the union and we had these special skills. So they're paying us like $400 or $500. and like, you know what I mean? Like it was
and
like,
then they don't use it.
It was insane, like, dude. There was like 10 of us that got like 10 grand between the 10 of us for 4 hours of work. And they ended up blurring us out because like, they're like, oh, we're not even going to really use it. We'll just put them in the background and kind of blur them out. And you can like see us just as figures doing this Tai Chi. You can't actually see any of our faces.
But I mean, I feel that about any like TV show, movie, or anything, especially like stuff that
sit.
Like I've done background work in,
sit.
Or like extra work.
It's
like,
sit down.
You're so a part of, like, you're just kind of like a spoke on the wheel, but like such a small cog in the machine. As an extra, and then you're like. Then you're just like kind of wrangled.
Oliver didn't like going inside.
I can tell. I could tell.
Maybe let them out, but there's cars that drive through the village, the farm, you know, because there's a cut through road. Mm-hmm. I'll let you out. Come on out, bud. Come on. You can come out. Didn't mean to cut you off, Corey. So you're just talking about how much money is invested in these scenes.
Yeah, like the budget for something like that could be.
Well, dude, they had a $125 million budget, and they went over budget, like $225 million, I think.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Dude, talking $225 million, we're talking about $250 million, mm-hmm. and that's the reason, main reason why they didn't do a trilogy. Remember when I saw you at the we went to the open call for the Last Airbender 2, and they were we thought it was gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, dude, like that was crazy because like we went because I mean, it was at the convention center and like it was hours long, but like everyone thought that it was definitely going to be a second one, and then Disney dropped it. Or Nickelodeon. I don't even know. I think it was a Disney production, wasn't it?
No, it was Nickelodeon.
Mm.
It was a Nickelodeon.
How about that for a Quizzo question?
Yes, I'm gonna
love it.
Trivia host.
So I do trivia. I do Quizzo events. So if I get one, I'm just going to have you do it. So if I book any Quizzo trivia, I'm going to have you be the host, show you how to use the equipment, and bada bing, bada boom. I mean, we can do karaoke events. We definitely need to set it up. I mean, my buddy's got photo booths, so we do a lot of photo booth events. Okay. And then I also have this party rental company that I want to throw out there that I used to work for called Beanie Bounce Party Rentals. They're located in Conshohock in Norristown area, but they do moon bounces. They have a moon bounce that you can be that turns into a water slide, you know, you blow them up and they're a huge hit, you know, cotton candy machine, snow cone machine, popcorn machine, whatever you want. But it's all about party daily, bro. We party daily. Jim Daly, core.
I just watched your thing about the food.
Oh, good.
The processed.
Yeah. The Weird Al Yankovic video.
Right, and you were like talk about the party, and then it made me think of that.
Dude, it makes me so happy that you watched it. Because when I drive on by, I'm trying to find food quick on the fly. We pick fruit to eat, but there's only fast food when we're on the street. You eat Mickey D's, it's only going to lead to obesity. Roll up in a Burger King, roll out with your energy dwindling. Gross. Ooh, look at that food. Gross. Ooh, look at that food. Gross. Ooh, look at that food. It's processed. Gross. Ooh, look at that food. Gross. Ooh, look at that food. Gross. Look at that food. It's processed, man. It's processed and we know it. That's the thing. Like I'm super passionate about nutrition, Corey, at this point in my life because I felt like it helped me heal. I don't know about your experience with healing and how much your diet mattered in your recovery. You know what I mean? And we haven't ever had the opportunity to really talk about that and get deep with that. But like when you have chronic pain and you're in pain every day, you're going to change. Pain's the number one factor, bro, in changing. I don't care who you are. You have enough pain, you're going to change.
So, well, I want us to get a workout in together.
Yeah, we gotta do that, bro. So we can go to any LA Fitness under my membership. I have a guest pass for you, so you're always welcome with me. Nice. And I mean, if you have a facility, great. I actually do circuit workouts here on the farm, you know. So like, I'll set up like a little six stage circuit workout, and we can do that here, man. You just come over here, it'd be awesome. We videotape that, you know, do a podcast with that too.
We have one of those flash bulbs. We'll video.
Yeah. Well, I got a tripod that can like move with the remote, you know, so can literally go from station to station, you know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm just so grateful for you because like this is like you're bringing out my passion. Like my purpose and passion is to like entertain. But like I want to make content and I want to film stuff that's going to help people. Like, I just love helping people. Like, I'm all about that. Like, there's nothing more that I get gratification and enthusiasm, like, you know, in spirit, Like, mm-hmm. it comes from the Greek word for in spirit, like enthusiasm. I have tons of it. And the, you know, just doing that, it, I feel like is part of my purpose. Like, especially going to these senior living homes, Corey, I was in a really depressed place. And I saw this Netflix documentary called The Voice Within. And this guy was just going into senior living homes with ear pods and, or headphones and just putting them on these people. And then they put them on and they come to life. They're in a wheelchair, all of a sudden they're dancing or they're singing. And like music has a special part of your soul because of the frequency, vibration, mm-hmm. hertz, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. There's a chamber. You can forget your kid's name. You can lose track of everything you ever did in your life, but you'll remember that song. And when I had Ruby, she was 101. It was her birthday. It was my first DJ gig. I was volunteering at Sunrise of Haverford. Feel like it was yesterday. It's like near Suburban Square. She sang that whole song. She was like three little birds. She was like, don't worry about the thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. You know what I mean, Corey? It's like you're seeing a woman that's 101. It's her birthday, and her kids are like there, and her grandkids. And it's like a memory that's going to never be forgotten by like 30 people, right? Yeah. So like it's locked that's in there special. Forever, yeah. Like a game-changing memory for a but family. But
now that song is different for everybody now. You'll never hear that song the same.
It has to be.
Right.
It has to be one of the most impactful like songs for me just from that one experience for sure. But.
Hell yeah, man.
I mean, I got to tell you, Corey, you're a walking miracle, bro.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. God has a purpose for you. And like, I knew that right away. Like, because I was just, I'll be honest with you. I was stunned when you said that you had your head cut open. I didn't exactly know what you had going on, you know, in your brain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But guess what? Sometimes you need to get some stuff done to get it back right.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta crack some eggs to make an omelet. And I cracked this egg right open.
Crack some eggs to make an omelet, Ollie. Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, man, it was great to see you the other day, and it was funny because like so many people, I meet so many people so often, like that it was funny that as soon as I saw you and I heard your voice, and you were like Corey, I was like Jimmy, what's up?
Yeah, dude, it was like we just left off where we left off. Yeah, left off where we left off. Took off where we left off.
And then I was like, oh man, it's funny that you recognized me, and you were like, "Yep, Facebook."
When you said that, I was like, "Cool, man, I follow you all the time, bro. I'm so into what you're doing because, if I'll be honest with you, Corey, I've met tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands, between caddying, bartending, you know, doing all the jobs I do are service jobs. I've never ever really had a real job in my life." You know, like I worked at the men's warehouse. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. And put you in a suit, suit you up, get you ready. Tuxedo, what you need. But like, I mean, in reality, I was just like, I was always so fascinated and in love with you because you were always pursuing what you love. Because you can easily go and get a job and you can get that 9 to 5. You can get that cubicle gig. You can get that job that you're traveling, seeing the world. You can get a job where, you know, you're making hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, and you're just miserable.
Well, I have to say, Jim, I mean,
it's like, because you're not following that passion. Like, that's what I was talking to you about when we were going to say, like, straight up. What were we going to talk about today? Like, I was just asking you, I was like, yo, Corey, on some real shit, like, what are we going to talk about today? And I was like, I said, well, I like to talk about purpose and passion, you know, law of attraction, manifesting, you know, having that zest, that shit that brings the fucking life out of you. Like, what you're going to die for? What are you willing to die for kind of shit, bro?
You're not fully clean unless you're zest fully clean.
Yes. Yeah, well played. Good delivery.
But
yeah, fucking that.
Yeah, man. I don't really I don't do a whole lot of like mapping out how we're gonna have conversations. I just want it mainly to be like, for the most part, I wanted to make sure that anything I record or anything I put out is something I'd want to hear. Something I'd participate in.
Amen. Consuming. Amen. Something you believe in. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Like, I don't have much hope. I'm going to say this straight up. This is my thing. Like, when people are like, oh, I hope this happens, or I'm trying. No, you're either doing it or you're not doing it. You either have faith in it and you believe it's done, or you don't. It's that simple. I'm not going to beat around the bush, and like, I'm going to get down to that dirty, dirty, deep, dark spot. Because for me, I've had to hit rock bottom and hit like really dark places in my life to get that enthusiasm and that zest fully clean and that energy that like keeps me going. Because like, I mean, dude, when COVID happened, I lost everything. You know, like, I had to like redefine myself, like, and that's I'm not alone. So many people sacrificed their whole life to not get vaccinated, even like nurses and pilots, and like, and then you hear about all this the stuff that comes along with the consequences of getting it, and then the berating and the verbal abuse you get for not getting it. It's like there's so much judgment, and so many people want to, you know, just tell you how to live, tell you what to believe in, tell you to be gay or straight, or, you know, oh, you're, you know, I don't care to judge anybody. And that's like, that's just part of me. That's who I am. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm more focused on me, because all I know is, I have the serenity prayer tattooed on me, and I ask God to grant me the serenity to accept the things I can and cannot change. You know, because like, there's things you can change and there's things you can't. You know, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and courage to change the things I can, and then the wisdom to know the difference. Because I've been going through my whole life thinking I can change people, thinking I can change, you know, certain bullshit around me.
Oh, dude!
The only thing I can really change is me. You know,
is it that savior complex that I know I have in that serenity prayer?
Yeah,
that serenity prayer that wisdom to me is such strength now, and that wisdom has given me such strength. I think about that all the time. Power wheels. We're going to do all 80s television commercials for 1,000.
Fucking love it. Let's go. Dude, they got rid of Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. Now there's only Potato Head.
He's just Potato Head person. It comes with the
Mr. and Mrs. You gotta be kidding me, dude. Like, I got to be honest with you. That was one of the, when that happened and I heard that on TV. I thought to myself, what the fuck is going on?
It comes with the female lips and the male lips. I think everything in the world should be non-binary. I think only two options for everything is awful and wrong and stupid. Like, I think there isn't always a right and a wrong answer. There's always a gray area where it's, you know, it's not all the way right and it's not all the way wrong. There is a middle ground for so many things. There is a third way on so many things.
Oh, you're devil's advocate. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I played devil's advocate my whole life because my dad's a lawyer. I told my dad, I was joking with my dad. I go, Dad, you know why they bury lawyers 12 feet deep instead of 6 feet deep? Because deep down, they're good people, Dad. But that's like, you fucking asshole, I'm a lawyer. I go, no, Dad, you're the best lawyer, dude, because like, you actually care about people, and like, that's the cool thing, man. Like, it's what's fascinating to me, and I'll be honest with you right now, is that like, there's so many jobs out there, Corey, you know what I mean? And there's so many things that people do. And there's so many opportunities to get swindled and get taken advantage of, you know? Like I thought back on my life about all the different times that I made really poor decisions, right? And I got manipulated by people, or like I can point the finger. But like, for example, my parents pulled me out of Penn State University because they were worried about me. My parents loved me, unconditional love, right? And I'm at Penn State and I'm partying. I'm at Penn State. Let's go. Happy Valley, right? Coming from an all-boy prep school, graduated with like 200 and change, 220, maybe 230 dudes. And now I'm in class with 700 kids and there's like 300 girls. How am I going to be able to pay attention to anything? I got 300 women in my theater class with 700 people. And then I'm going to an econ class that has 700 people. And it, you know what I mean? It's just, it was massive, bro. It was like, we're talking 20,000 graduate students, 20,000 medical students, and 40,000 undergrad. We're talking about 80,000 children, adult children, 18 to 24, 25. And my parents pulled me out and I said, I'm going to become an actor and a bartender. How do you like them apples? My dad's like, fucking motherfucker. But it's all good. Everything happens for a reason, right, Corey?
Yeah. I mean, I think that for sure is a valid concern that they had. Like it's not like you're like, no, those are completely unwarranted worries to have. Like,
oh yeah, exactly. They're
fully valid in like watching you be a distractible boy your entire life.
Yes.
And then they probably see what your grades are, like how your academics are doing, right?
Well, yeah, you're right. Compared to being National Honor Society, you know, straight A student, like 3.8 GPA, I guess I graduated with, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was really smart because I studied and I worked hard because my parents paid a lot of money to send me to St. Joe's Prep. So I had enough respect for my parents to work hard. It was about being disciplined, but also having that football, basketball, and lacrosse, that structure. You know what I mean? And doing theater, you know, and student council. You know what I mean, Corey? Like having structure in your life, how important that is. Mm-hmm. Like having like things that you have to be at, and like having a routine is so crucial to successful people in life, is what I've learned. And then when I went to Penn State, I lost that, in all honesty, because I wasn't playing a sport anymore. And I joined a fraternity and, you know, I played some, you know, intramural sports and whatnot, but it was just too much for me, Corey. And my parents knew that. Yeah, too much, bro. Overstimulated, bro.
I was just saying to you earlier, like before we were recording, we were talking, I was like, how funny is it to be like an ADD kid who like, is grown up now and sees that the entire world is now ADD kids too.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we were talking about 30 minutes before.
Yeah. Like this is
I love ADD it, Corey. I love how you brought that in, dude. That's so perfect, Corey. I'm glad, so happy you said that, dude, because it's like, so funny. It's perfect.
It was funny because I spent so much time like feeling bullied and shamed for having it and being called.
Dude, you told me that you stayed back in first grade.
Yeah.
Before we got on the call.
Yeah.
And well, I think back in first grade, and that was the way for them to try to slow down the process, you know, change up the environment in a way, because now you have a new class of kids and you have a new study habit and a new programming, because like, yeah, I couldn't be in a classroom setting because I was so overstimulated and I was a distraction. I wasn't helping the kids learn, you know, I was the annoyance almost.
You know, it's funny, man, when my mom, I guess, made the decision to have me repeat first grade, she switched me schools. So the kids that I was in first grade with didn't see me still in first grade. She didn't want me to feel that shame. She switched me schools during that.
No fucking way.
That's
crazy. That's even crazier than me, Core. Because at least when I stayed back, I was in class with my cousin.
Okay.
And like the worst part was my cousin left school or changed schools in like fifth or sixth grade, and I was all pissed off because I didn't want him to leave, you know, and he was like my best friend after staying back.
This is 1 year difference.
Yeah, I you know, when my parents kept me back, it was interesting because I was doing the van, you know, and doing like one-on-one, and I got smarter. Like, it was kind of weird how like my reading and my speech got better. So my like pronunciation, everything.
Pronunciation. There, see how there's a noun in there? A noun. Yeah, man. But when I have to say, man, and I was in Catholic school for the first couple of years I was in school. And I have to say, this nun really pulled me aside. Like, she kept me the whole summer to make sure I knew how to read, to prepare me to go to the next school, to the different.
She knew
I was going to go to that other school, but she wanted to make sure I was ready for it.
She wanted to make sure
I was ready for the first grade.
That's love. That's a cool kind of love, bro.
Yeah. So thanks to my mom and thanks to Sister Leonora from
Sister Leonora. We're throwing a holla to Sister Leonora. Holla, Sister Leonora.
I used to call her Sister Leonardo because that was when I was in first grade. The Ninja Turtles were huge.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
Yes, and I still
Jones.
I still have so much Ninja Turtle stuff around my house.
What is that?
Is it like a? It's a little pencil case, I guess.
Dude, I love it.
I have like pens and stuff in there.
All right, I got this Ninja Turtle case here.
This has got little paper clips in it. Paper clips and pencil cases.
I love it.
And I got this little.
Yo, I gotta tell you right now, bro. What I'm loving about, I gotta tell you about your whole thing going on here, evolving with Corey Castle. Like,
please tell me everything about it.
I love the yin and yang. I love the alien. The spacecraft, because they're hanging out.
You're talking about right here on the front of the screen.
Oh, dude, yeah. I'm just talking about what I'm seeing.
Right?
Love the tapestry, love the caricature, love the evolving of the caveman. I mean, dude, like, it's just awesome.
If you look close enough, he's got the same beard as me.
Of course he does. That's your great-great-great-grandfather.
Yeah,
great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great.
He might have a little mullet though. He should have a man bun.
Okay. Oh man.
Man, I mean I enjoy this. I like doing this. I like that.
Yeah, bro. 33 minutes have gone by and it felt like 3. So
it makes me feel like productive. Like it makes me feel like,
yeah.
I have to say, I went the last like couple months without doing any of these, and when I was like feeling low and feeling down, my mother was like, "Go record a couple podcasts. That'll make you feel better."
And I love your mom. I can't wait to meet your mom. Your mom seems like I'd be a big fan of your mom.
I am a big fan of my mom as well.
I think my mom and your mom would be buddies.
You think so?
Oh, I don't think. I know so. Let me rephrase that. I know so. If your mom likes tennis, my mom would be your mom's best friend.
my mom doesn't play no tennis. Oh, you left. My mom don't play no tennis, I have to say. Oh, man.
Corey, are we good?
Yeah, dude.
My bad, dude. I was trying to wipe something off the screen and I got it out of here.
That happens. It happens. It's normal. Normal wipes. normal wipes.
Oh my God, Corey!
I used to work at a warehouse,
and yeah, where'd you go?
I worked in like the decal department in the back of the warehouse, but there was this guy who drove a forklift every day. He was always driving a forklift. He had no front teeth, so he couldn't say words that had F's in them. Like, he could say them, but the F's would turn to P's. He would say, "Get out of the fucking way of my fucking pork lip. Get out of the way of my fucking pork lip." And he once told me about not setting alarms on his phone because he has a wife that sets alarms and she'll wake him up. And she said, and he said, "I don't need no alarms on my fucking phone. I got a fucking wipe."
That's perfect. That sounds exactly what he would say every day.
got me a fucking wipe to make some breakfast.
Not worried about a goddamn thing. Thank God. Amen. Yeah, God bless that man.
Yeah.
Paying his mortgage. Got his wife making dinner, taking care of him because she loves him. He works hard for her. That's the kind of marriage I would want, or a relationship I want. You know what I mean? Like, I have a really good woman right now. You met Michelle. She's incredible. She's like one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's just got a heart of gold.
I see the way she looks at you. She adores you.
She's very patient with me. We'll say that much for sure. I mean, the biggest thing is that she runs daycare centers for kids with autism and Down syndrome, and like, they just adore her and love her so much, and all of her employees love her because she's just such a great leader. You know, like, it's a, like, well, what I was trying to get to in this comment is just like, life's all about like how much of a leader are you to like your family, your brothers and sisters, your cousins? Like, do they look up to you? Do they ask you for advice?
When you ask me how much of a leader I am, can I ask you how many ounces are in a liter?
I think there's 16. No, I'm wrong. I got it wrong.
I have no
16
idea.
Ounces in a pint. We got 16 in a liter. We're gonna have,
it's probably like 64.
32? No, more. I don't know. No. Okay.
A liter.
So
a
half gallon is 64 ounces. A gallon is 128 ounces. What is a liter? I don't know. You got me, bro. You got me on the liter. How many ounces are
there? 1 liter of cola, 4 cup.
It's like 190 grams of sugar. Welcome to the fucking shit show diabetic party. Okay, welcome. Dude.
So that's a joke. I'll clip that. I'll make a clip out of that.
Dude, you're the best. Hey, did I tell you how Barack Obama proposed to Michelle Obama?
I believe you did tell me this. I just do not remember.
I feel like I told you this joke. I feel like you should know this.
Yeah.
He said, "Michelle, I don't want to be Obama's self."
Ah.
And she was like, "I hope you like broccoli.
Broccoli.
The only thing I'm cooking in this house is broccoli. I hope you like broccoli, Barack."
Yeah, I do remember you telling me that, but I didn't want to step on the punchlines. I wanted to give you the chance to.
Oh, stop! You remember when Joe Biden won presidency? What he said?
I don't remember. No,
Biden. He was super excited. He was like, "Yo," he's like, "We're going to the Waffle House. I can't wait. We're going to the Waffle House." And Dr. Biden, Mrs. Biden, Dr. Biden said, "No, we're going to the White House, bro." He's like, "No, man, I thought we were going to the Waffle House."
That's That sounds just senile enough to be true.
Yeah. I had to tell you that one. I was like, that was off the cuff. I just thought of that one off the cuff real quick. Oh my God.
Yeah, man. So I've got just a couple of quick things. Couple quick things, and I'll send you off into the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake.
Oh, you got bacon, the Texas tamale, some cheddar cheese, bacon on that hot dog. My dad made them for Memorial Day weekend, bro. You got to do that for me soon. Call me, be like, yo, Jimmy, I just smell some cheddar cheese on a hot dog and put a bacon strip on it. Boom shakalaka.
That's a pork lip.
That's your boy right there, bro, from work. I got poor. With the forklift, the pork lift. What the fuck? Oh my God.
So I like to have interactions where this stuff is on the record, right? So there's absolutely no world where this doesn't outlive us. This audio, this video, this form of this platform, this stuff is outliving us. So I love to give love and respect on the record. So I'll let you know how grateful I am for your positivity. I'm grateful I am for the currency of your effort. I want to make sure I tell you, if ever you need me to be a resource for you in any way, please don't ever hesitate to call or text me.
Corey, we're here in this life forever, bro. Together, friends for life, bro.
Linked. And I say that to say, if you got anything you want to ask me that you've always been wondering about that you never. You know, never had the opportunity to ask me.
Yeah, I do. I do. I want to know, honestly, Corey, what went through your mind when the doctor said to you what was going on with your brain and what needed to be done? Because I know you put some stuff out there and whatnot, but like, what really like went through your mind when this doctor was like, we're going to have to operate and cut, I'm going to have to open up your head?
Like, I was mad, dude.
What happened?
I was mad.
Like, what was your thought process? Did you ask God? Did you go to God right away? Like, did you?
No.
What'd you do?
No. I was bitter, man. I was really bitter.
Okay.
I thought that my career was over. I thought that like this was going to be something that killed me.
Yeah.
So I was mad about it.
Me too. I was really mad. My God, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to turn it into prayer and gratitude.
So when the doctor told me that what had to be done, I said, let me just go back to my wrestling career. Let me go back to the weight room. Don't even worry about it. I'll just live.
Ignore
it. It's going to be fine.
Ignore it.
Yeah.
Ignore it.
I was like, let me just go. I'll be fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
And he said, if I ignore it and we don't do anything about it, you're not going to live to 34 years old. You'll die by the time you're 34 years old.
What the fuck, Corey?
And I surrendered to it.
Okay.
I believed that my positive mental attitude towards the whole thing. And my looking forward to it being something that I can use to inspire people, that started taking over. That gratitude for being able to catch this and being able to survive it.
Yeah. Catching it when you did catch it. Caught that shit.
So that switched my bitterness, and that went away. I thought about forgiveness. I thought about so much forgiveness. I've thought about grudges that I was holding that I didn't need to hold, because it truly made me sad to find out that like people didn't know about this. And like, I talked to them like 6 months to 12 months later, and they still had no idea that this had ever happened to me. And I felt oh, you would have just went 6 months without knowing that I had been dead for 6 months, you know?
Yeah. It changes your mindset, right? You're thinking.
I got to the point where I'm like, why do I got to waste any right nows worried about right nows I'll never get back? Why do I got to carry all this weight that's not serving me? So I put all that down and kind of leaned more towards I want to be somebody who I see and want to be that person. Like if I wasn't me, I'd want to be me. I want to be somebody.
Now we're talking. That's what I'm fucking talking about.
Right. So I want to be somebody who puts out content, who puts out vibrations, who puts out relationships with people, builds relationships and builds an audience, builds upon growth and evolving. I want to have that be part of what my personal brand has always been, but now publicly.
Yeah. Amen.
So, dude. I mean, I waited a couple of years to start the podcast, but it was something that I felt like I couldn't ignore the fact that I thought about doing it.
All right. So Corey, the other question I wanted to ask you, how long did this process go on for? I actually was not able to follow the whole thing from start to finish with you. You know, I prayed for you and I thought of you and I loved you and I thought about your family and I thought about everything that you were going to do when you got through this. Like I thought about being able to hang out with you. I envisioned you and me doing this, not even doing this. Let me rephrase that. I didn't expect us to be doing a podcast, but I knew we were going to do something together because I had that faith in God and faith in you and your strength. And just you as a human being, like your spirit, you're just a spiritual being having a human experience. And that's great and all. But like what happened? Like,
so
you went into the hospital and the doctor tells you, like, we have to do something about this because it, you know, you're not going to live past 34. And then what was the next thing that happened? Like, did you do radiation chemo? Like, I couldn't remember exactly what you ended up having to do.
No, that was an option. But
yeah,
it wasn't needed.
Okay, great. That's awesome. Good. I'm glad you didn't have to go through that shit because I didn't want you to go through any of that. Because I don't even believe in that. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. There you go. I said something. I don't believe in chemo and radiation. I believe in food, prayer, and I don't know, whatever. I'm sorry. Let me let you finish.
It's funny because I know I feel like I've told the story way a lot of times.
I'm sure you have,
but I'm happy to tell it to you because you're somebody I truly care about and you haven't heard it and you want to hear it from the source.
Yeah,
I do. What happened? It was the beginning of August in 2011, right?
Wow.
So okay. August 4th, 2011. Damn, I had a show that was going to be in Reading. So in the building where the Reading Phillies play we were going to have a wrestling show there.
Cool.
So I got in the shower. It was a Thursday, right? So normally on Thursdays, I'll take a shower. I'll lock the door, turn my speaker on, turn my music up all the way. And I would be home alone. I would be home alone on every Thursday. But on this Thursday, I didn't lock the door. I didn't turn the music on, and I happened to not be alone. When I was in the shower, I remember brushing my teeth, and then I remember waking up in an ambulance.
Oh my God.
So what had happened was while I was in the shower and I was brushing my teeth, I had a grand mal seizure while I was in the shower. And while I was – so – these veins that would just be right here on the side of my head. In utero. So when I was just a baby in my mom's tummy, they didn't form right. These veins up here.
Okay.
So,
got it.
So they started to bleed. A bleed came into the front of my skull.
The frontal cortex.
So I had a brain bleed that went right up into my frontal lobe here. And, and my brain bleed made me have a grand mal seizure. When I had the seizure, I fell out of the shower, and the shower curtain wrapped itself around my face, and I was suffocating on the shower curtain, and I fell through the toilet. I broke the toilet. My mom heard all that, and she came right in, ripped the shit off of me right away, and saved my life. Then they took me to a local hospital, St. Mary's. St. Mary's was like, we know what it is, but we can't really do anything about it. We don't really have the technology to do anything about it. So we're going to chopper you to the University of Pennsylvania.
Perfect.
So they choppered me to University of Pennsylvania. Chopperite, I don't remember, but it was called an AVM. They found it, a cranial AVM, arterial venous malformation. And a lot of people have had this. It's pretty kind of common. Not common, but a lot of people that are famous have had this same thing. There's a guy on the Eagles. I think his name was Mike Patterson, and he had a seizure on the practice field the day before I had mine, and he also had a cranial AVM.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
I remember Mike Patterson.
I remember that
football player.
And then you know who TJ Miller is?
No.
He's an actor, comedian. Like, he's in like Daredevil and She's Out of My League in Silicon Valley.
Oh, okay.
Yogi Bear. Yeah. Yogi Bear 3D. He also had his, like,
did that voice? He did the voiceover?
I think he was the park ranger. I don't remember
what the park ranger's name was. Gotcha.
In Yogi Bear, but I just know that's one of the credits he makes sure to drop when he talks about his credits, cuz I think that he was filming that movie when he had the AVM.
So what did they do? Did they cut you the top of your scalp? So, to get that, to drain that blood?
Or no, they said, here's the funny part. When I got to University of Pennsylvania, some nurse came in and she talked to my mom, and she said, this was like minutes after I was just a dick to the doctor. Like, I was like, so you're telling me you're going to cut my hair? I can't work out anymore and I can't wrestle anymore. I don't want this. I don't want this.
Yeah. You're like Vinny.
Right. I was like, let me just go back to my life.
Yeah.
And the nurse came in and she talked to my mom, and she was like, hey, you know, Dr. Zager's going on vacation. He's going to be gone for 3 weeks. It might be better to let that swelling and that bleed go down before we schedule a craniotomy. Right. And the other option would have been a gamma radiation knife. Right. So that would have taken me fully out of wrestling. I would have had to end my wrestling career if I did that. And I might have had to lose all my hair. But then she pitched this idea of the craniotomy and waiting in 3 weeks for the swelling to go down and for Dr. Zager to get back from vacation. And then my mom and I discussed it, and we were like, yep, that's the option we're going with. And then she brought up that nurse, and who said that to her, to the doctor when he came in. And the doctor was like, there is no nurse. Like, nobody knows who that nurse was. Like, that was just
an angel.
It's
an angel
that came in and guided us.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
It was the divine encounter. It was divine.
Yes. That's what life is all about, bro. I love that.
Then when I had those 3 weeks, man, I had 3 weeks to kind of like make my peace with it all, make my decisions and figure out how is it going to approach this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did do a little bit of my own research. I did find out that like a lot of people who had gone through this, you know, came out of it different on the other side. Like, This was right up here. This is like right where all your personality is. This is where
you ain't losing that. Yeah, I wasn't letting you lose that. No. That wasn't going anywhere. You could stab you right there, and then with a knife, it ain't going.
But then they were like,
break the knife.
Some of the results I was reading was like, people didn't survive this. Some of the results,
you're a monster, bro.
But like, when you're in it, reading kind of result is something, you know, unavoidable. And
but you didn't believe it. You didn't believe in it, though, right?
I didn't
believe in it.
No.
Yeah, you didn't believe in it.
And like, people were like, you don't. Some people were like, yeah, this happened to my family member, and they can't read, they can't see, they can't hear. There's always something a little bit different. And I when I got admitted into the hospital, they asked me if I was ready to stay there for 30 days. And I was like, 30 days? Why? And they're like, well, because we might have to reteach you how to read and write and walk and talk all over again. And I was like, I'll be out of here in a week. I said that to the nurse right then. And I was on my feet, and I walked out the door 3 days later. I did not.
Let me see that muscle, bro. Flex on him for me. Yeah.
I didn't have to learn. Ooh, I didn't have to learn any of that shit. I honestly felt like I came out of it more intelligent than I ever was. I didn't feel like, I think for a really long time, I was victim to that shame that told me that I was dumb and, you know, like, was
not worthy.
Yeah, that I was a boy, like an uninformed boy. Oh,
guess who
boy.
Just showed up, Cor?
The dog?
No, Michelle just arrived. The angel. Cool. That angel that you're talking about, that nurse.
Cool.
The one that's so patient. Look at her, bringing over dinner. What an athlete. What an athlete. Corey and I have been having an awesome time. This is great. 57 minutes, and it felt like 7 minutes.
Nice.
Is that cool? How he has a yin and yang and evolving with Corey Castle.
Love it.
Isn't that awesome? It's awesome.
Yeah, brother.
If you want to add in, I'll be Oliver's inside, but I'm gonna be done in a minute. We're wrapping things up. I was asking Corey about recovery. Just recovering from pain. You know, pain is something that God gives us. You know, you're happy, you're sad, you know, pain, man, you know, suffering is just part of life, right, dude?
I feel like, remember me telling you, like, I felt like I wasn't intelligent. Like, I always felt like I became more intelligent on the other side of this.
I always felt stupid my whole life, bro.
And I think around that time, not only did I feel like I got more intelligent, I'm more comfortable identifying as a man. I didn't have a role model. I didn't have a male role model. No man taught me how to live my life. I had to learn.
Dad wasn't around at all?
For minutes.
Oh, okay.
Here and there.
But, I didn't know, Cor. Yeah. But, we never talked about dads in our lives, you know?
Yes, it's okay. But like I started identifying as a man, which I wouldn't be able to. I wasn't able to do before. But you know, once
taking responsibility, right? Taking responsibility and owning everything. Own everything.
Once a boy walks through fire, a man is the one who walks out on the other side.
Yes, burn that bridge, bro. Burn that bridge and never look back. Burn the ships. Burn everything. They don't know me. They don't know us. Who's going to carry the boats? David Goggins. They don't know me, son. They don't know me, son.
Do you remember Tommy? Well, not Tommy Boy. Billy Madison.
Yeah.
When he was like the Spanish Inquisition or whatever. And he was like, and then it was the Chris Farley. We're all now dumber for having heard it. I was thinking about when Chris Farley was helping him study, And he was like, that is correct.
Oh my God, dude. And Veronica Vaughn. And then they bring Chris Farley. That's the way to end the show, right?
Well, the way we end normally, if you don't mind, yeah. This is the last thing.
No, bro, I don't mind at all. Tell me what we do.
All right. Well, it's actually two quick things.
All right.
One, audio time travel. So since I gave you that opportunity to kind of put all that stuff on the record and ask me those questions,
yeah,
and say that stuff, I want to give you the opportunity now to speak to whoever stumbles across this that loves you the most 20 years into the future. So who you're speaking to now are the people who love you the most, the people who your life today is a legacy to them.
Okay.
So whether you're here or not, you're speaking to them. Maybe it could be you that you're talking to 20 years from now.
Okay.
But in the next few minutes, you're speaking directly to the 2043 version of whoever cares the most to hear this. What are you saying to them?
Okay, well, the first thing that comes to mind is my friend Brendan McDermott. God bless his soul. He just passed away from cancer. His funeral's tomorrow. And he was one of those souls that loved music. You know, we worked together on restoring old properties, right? We used to glaze windows, paint French doors for homes that were built during the Revolutionary War. Like, it was unbelievable. We worked at this company called Chestnut Hill Windows. And like, I want people to remember me the way I remember Brendan, you know, like, as a happy soul, like somebody who, like, I don't have a bad memory with Brendan. I can't even think of an argument. I can't think of us venting about negative things. Just, it was always positivity. And like, I just want to be remembered for somebody that brought light to a dark room, you know, brought, you know, happiness to people, whether it was through jokes or DJing or a good drink that I made, you know, because I mean, I'm squeezing out juice, or I'll squeeze you out a crazy tequila drink maybe. But I mean, I just know that, like, there's so much to life to be grateful for. So like, I keep that gratitude as my attitude, no matter what. Even if I have to fake it till I make it, I'm going to do that, because you never know who needs it. Like, there might be somebody just worse. Like, you never know what somebody's going through in their life. So like, if you can
rhyme it, rhyme it till you slime it.
Yeah. Rhyme it till you slime it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bust the rhyme.
Cream it till you cream it, bro.
Bust the rhyme. Belly to spine all the time. I mean, I got my core engaged. And my spiritual core is engaged. My mental core is engaged. So everything's engaged in the core, for sure. I adore my core. I love you, for sure. And I hope everybody on the show loves what we had to offer for a fucking
radical
hour.
Radical door.
And 20 years from now, look at this. We'll be fucking 60 almost. And I'll be like, what the fuck, dude?
I'm here for it. Yo. The way we wrap it up, we wrap up every episode is, you know, Jerry Springer, right?
Yeah, I remember Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer would do a final thought at the end of every episode. He would get all the most valuable takeaways.
I remember the final thought.
He would throw that good message at you, like the most positive takeaways to inspire you to be a better version of yourself.
I love that about him. Yeah. I remember.
What would your Jerry Springer's final thought? Hypothetically, I've gifted you this show. Okay. This is the first episode of your new podcast, Evolving with Jimmy Daly.
Hey, bro, you popped my cherry. You already know, first podcast ever.
So what is the Jerry Springer's final thought for Jimmy Daly?
Jerry Springer's final thought for Jimmy Daly is continue to evolve like Corey Castle. Don't look back. Look forward.
I lost you. I can't hear you no more. Oh boy. Don't look back, look forward. The mirror on the windshield is way smaller than the windshield itself. That's the message that Jimmy Daly wants us to know. Oh, device is not connected. Oh, we in the wrap up. I want to say thank you, everybody. If this is your first time checking out Evolving with Corey Castle, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks so much for hanging with me. I appreciate the currency of your effort. I love you, man. If you exist, let me know you exist. Leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you like and share, just so you know, if this is valuable to somebody else that you know, this would be valuable for them to hear. Have them.
Can you hear me?
Join me. I'm yeah, back. Dude.
Yeah, earphones are dead.
Yeah, that happened.
There, you know, it's just for me, it's about at this point setting goals, achieving goals. You don't have a goal, then you just basically have no destination. It's like getting on a boat, getting on an airplane with no fucking destination. And like, I'll be honest with you, I've been living life aimlessly, just trying to make money, trying to survive instead of thrive. And you got to have drive. So just fucking stay fucking driven and focused. Be it my dad, like my dad always said, he's like, Jimmy, you got a lot going on. Try to be laser focused on one thing. Get laser focused. Like, do the senior living thing. My dad was like, God was giving you that. Because I prayed for that. I asked God to get away from clubs, get away from the drugs, the alcohol, and the party scene. And let's go step into a different environment where people really need stimulation and love. Because a lot of ways, those senior living homes are like out of sight, out of mind. You know, these people are forgotten. Their loved ones just drop them off and they're fucking forgotten. And they need love. They need stimulation. They need doggies. They need babies. You know, they need like kids to come in to give them that zest for life. You know, we're not zestfully clean.
You're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean.
Yeah, that's probably the best line you had today, bro. That was fire. The delivery. I love you, soap, man. Thanks for soap. Your patience with me today.
Soap, man. Zest soap. Check it out. Where this episode is brought to you by Zest Soap. Go and enter in, go to zestsoap.com/EWCK for 15% off your next order of Zest Fully Clean Soap.
Yo, and get your apple cider vinegar at the dollar store. It's just as good.
Apple cider vinegar. Well, it's not. You're going to take a bath with that?
Dude, dip your feet in it, dip your face in it, do whatever you got to do, bro.
Just get showered.
Just showered. Bathing that shit, dog. Fuck that shampoo chemical shit, dog. Just bathing out. Get your Epsom salts. Get some fucking bee pollen. I got some cumin, black seed, pepper oil for you. That
Jimmy, what do you do? Any impressions, dude? You got any impressions at all?
There's a bomb in the building. Get down.
Okay,
I'm so the governor of California.
Okay, in your Arnold, in your Arnold Schwarzenegger. I want you to wrap the way we always wrap every episode is I have you in your best impression, say the catchphrase, be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
Be fun, be safe, and keep evolving. Evolve. Evolve.
Thanks for doing this, man. Thank you. Thanks
get
for doing
on
this.
The top, get to the chopper. Get to the chopper.
Everybody out there, if this is your first time checking out the show, please check out the other 295 episodes if you feel like you want to evolve with
295 episodes, motherfucker.
Yeah, this is the 296th episode. Welcome.
Oh, God, you're the best, dude. You're the host with the most. Let's have a toast.
All right. Cheers to you, my friend. I love you.
Get to your own chopper. Get to your own chopper.
Get down.
Be kind to yourself. Be kinder to others. Have grace.
Corey, get on the dance floor and get down. Get down on it.
If there's a moment, if there's a moment you catch yourself slipping, forgetting somebody else is also a human just like you, try to humble yourself by humanizing them.
Fucking A. I love you, Corey. You're the best.
Thanks for hanging with me. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you share it. Make sure you comment on YouTube.
Poke on shit.
Rate on Apple Podcasts, however you do it. I love you guys. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your effort. Thanks for the currency of your
attention. Oh, big money wanted to say bye.
Wee-hee.
See you guys.
Be fun. Have safe. Keep evolving.
All right. Corey, I love you. Be good.
Love you, bro.